It's episode 10. 10. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Let Them Eat Cake. We are talking to Ace Report, a collaborative member of the 5th Gen team. We discuss the uptick in arms sales through to the unjustified Russian invasion and occupation of Ukraine and her people. We also discuss topics like the Yom Kippur War, and how it led to the arming of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, among others. This is a fun, less structured talk and should provide a more entertaining look into topics that we would normally cover quite seriously. As always, we are 5th Gen, an information warfare cooperative that aims to shed light on things those in power want to be kept in the dark. We want to give a voice to the voiceless and give people the information they need to thrive in a world that tries so hard to starve you of it. I'm Jack, and my co-host is John, and we hope you enjoy the show.
We have a weapon more powerful than the British Empire, and that weapon is our refusal to bow to any order but our own, any institution but our own.
Check this out. Look at this one. This is U.S. customers in arms sales versus arms sales risk index. No, and then here's our number one buyer right here, all the way out here.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah. Egypt and Egypt. Egypt's in the top five.
Yeah, Pakistan, Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia. Those
kind of surprised Egypt isn't buying more. To be honest, this is interesting because this is actually kind of relevant to the date. Actually, Jack, where you are right now, it is the 6th of October. Mm-hmm. So basically, for the Egyptians, this is kind of like a. I guess you could say it's like a, for the Egyptians, it's like a good thing. For the Syrians, it's a bad thing. For the Israelis, it's kind of like a give and take. Basically, on the first day of Yom Kippur, the Arab states declared war on Israel and kind of caught them off guard. And so on the Egyptian end, things kind of went okay. Like, they were able to at least, like, to put it mildly, right, put it very roughly, they were able to force the Israelis into negotiations. Whereas the Syrians kind of didn't do as well on their front. So that's kind of why the Israelis still have the Golan Heights and stuff like that. So what happens is 6 years after this, Camp David gets signed, which I guess is like the first, that's like the first edition of the Abrahamic Accords or whatever the fuck they call it now. And basically what that means is the Egyptians, the thing with Egypt is they'll buy arms from anybody. So you'll also see them buying a lot of weapons from Russia. And this was kind of when they started weaning off of Soviet/Russian arms. And it's because their relationship with the U.S. was better because they'd made peace with the Israelis at this point. And basically over time, I guess you could just say like the U.S. sees them as like an ally in the Middle East and stuff. And they're willing to sell them arms. And as you may or may not know, the Egyptian government's basically like a military dictatorship. It has been, aside from like a brief year and a half break between like 2013 and 2015. So while Egypt isn't really like a, I guess you could say a country at war outside of like an insurgency in the Sinai with Daesh and stuff like that, and ISIS and all that. They're still gonna buy just because they need to like have weaponry to enforce this like military dictatorship, police state kind of thing. So that's why they buy so much arms. Maybe they won't buy as much as
stockpiling, basically.
Exactly, basically. Mm. So it's like you'll notice this in Egypt a lot. If you ever go to like a lot of, especially in kind of like what we call in Arabic shabby neighborhoods, which is like a way of saying like a working class neighborhood. Those neighborhoods were pretty instrumental in kind of like giving the government a lot of trouble in 2011 and 2013 when the revolutions were going on and stuff like that. And they were a pain in the ass because I remember when I was younger, like in my neighborhood, they like people in the neighborhood literally like barricaded the military from entering, jumped them, stole their like AKs and set up their own checkpoints. And this lasted for like a month.
Bloody hell.
So the report is that that we were referencing is also from 2020. So there's also like not the accountage for Ukraine yet. We still don't know what the factors are going to be there. And I think Ukraine is going to have a dramatic effect. Well, what like a lot of the data we're looking at will probably be irrelevant by the time this data comes Ukraine.
I mean, how much money and arms have been sent to Ukraine? Like $33 billion or some crazy shit like that? Something outlandish. Like, it's more than Saudi at this point.
It's more than that, isn't it?
Well, it's also, they do it a specific way. They basically give them credit.
This is what
Britain did with Saddam. I sent that little clip in the chat about Britain and Saddam. How they give people a foreign aid, knowing that they're gonna buy arms with that foreign aid, and that's how they do it. So like all the shit that Britain had, it goes through Jordan, right? So like the sarin gas that he used, it came from Jordan, which means that it came from the UK, because they had just signed the convention on outlawing these chemical weapons, so they didn't want them to go to waste. So they stole them through Jordan.
I know this may not exactly be the same topic, but for example, Syria in the 70s started stockpiling chemical weapons kind of as like a last resort to use against Israel if it came down to that. And those are the same weapons that they used during like whenever those attacks in the Ghouta happened, like 2014 or something.
The sarin levels in those weapons was extremely degraded too. So like it could have been even possible that like it was produced during like Saddam's era, like it came over from that era, because like it was really degraded, but they used a fucking brand new Russian bomb to drop that shit in Khan Shaykhun. But what it is comparable to is cluster munitions in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So the cluster munitions bill just passed not that long ago, and everyone started selling their cluster munitions to Saudi Arabia right when Yemen was kicking off. And there was this famous incident where 40 school children got eviscerated by a cluster munition that came out of a U.S. fucking bomb.
Out of a Saudi Arabian plane, or did the U.S. drop it?
Oh, no. The Saudis dropped it. It would be highly illegal for the U.S. to do that. We only do stuff like use child soldiers in Yemen and stuff like that. We fuel them. We keep fuel tankers in the air for them, like basically 24/7 to fuel their planes to just do bombing runs. But like you've seen how big the Houthis are.
Mm. Yeah, dude, I was actually, I mean, shit, that's a big army. Well, the other thing too is like I'm pretty sure in that video they're not showing all those like 14-year-olds that they have recruited as well.
Mm-hmm.
Recruited.
Yeah,
recruited.
Well, and then I know on the coalition side, 40% of the forces are child soldiers, but I don't know how much the Houthis have. But they have been, you know, making.
I'd imagine it's a similar number, to be honest.
Well, I know they have been cracking down on them. Senior Houthi military officials told the Associated Press in 2018 that the group had indicated that 18,000 child soldiers are in its army.
Oh, so they just straight up admitted this?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
More than 10,000 children have been killed or maimed in the war. And that's another thing. Part of that is the cluster munitions, because cluster munitions fucking injure children every day. Like in Yemen, it's out of control. Like most of the people like injured by cluster munitions that don't detonate are children, because they think it's a toy.
Story my friend told me is one time in Syria, in his grandma's house, someone dropped a cluster munition, like probably Russia, right? Mm-hmm. Like 10 blocks away from his grandma's house.
They just dropped some today on a camp.
And a piece of it flew through their bathroom window and fucking broke their toilet.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And this was, they didn't, like, they could see it, but they didn't feel it. And then it's like, thankfully no one was in the bathroom, right? But he was telling me like, yeah, that's the day my family decided we gotta get the fuck up out of Syria.
That's fair.
Syria's fucking brutal. I was just looking at a video today where it's a displacement camp and it's built along railroad tracks. So each side is like a tent city along these railroad tracks. So the train stops through to just drop people off in this fucking tent city.
Jesus. That's the crazy part when people bring up Syria. They're like, oh, all these refugees are coming through and stuff. It's like, dude, most of the displaced people in Syria are just still in Syria. Like, I don't think people... Like, it's definitely not the size of the U.S.
internally displaced. People don't understand the difference between external and internally displaced. They're still refugees.
There's like 5 million Syrians outside of Syria, right, at the moment. Probably like 2 million of them are in Turkey, and another million are in Lebanon, and the rest are scattered in like places like Egypt and Jordan and stuff.
Yeah.
But 11 million out of the 16 million people in Syria are like just in tent cities, basically. Or like somewhere that isn't where they're from.
Mm. It's wild.
I mean, Syria's like, it's again, it's not the U.S., but it's still a pretty big place. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
the map's not gonna. It's not gonna seem like that on the map, but it's pretty massive. Like, we're talking, it extends between like forest lands and arid desert.
And all the government really controlled is the ports.
Well, that's all they want, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they need. That's
the whole part of the arms industry. Odessa was part of it too for a while. So they would come out of Russia, and Odessa was just like, it's changed
also
very
as
recently.
As far as demographics go, that's kind of like Assad's stronghold, because they're all part of the same kind of like ethno-religious mm-hmm. group as Assad in the port
yep.
cities. So like, basically the way I see it, the day like the Syrian rebels take Latakia and like those port cities and stuff like that, that's the day the Syrian regime is done for.
But they can't.
They can't. That's the thing, right?
They could have. They really
there could've. There was a point in time in like 2015 where it could have happened, but
I honestly believe that 3 Stinger missile systems would have changed the war.
I have to agree. Yeah.
The thing is the people don't understand that there's a lot of Syrians in Ukraine right now as well fighting. They're normally in the Cossack
Russia.
And Georgian battalions.
Just because they despise Russia, literally. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it says Russia bombs them almost every day, and it's normally cluster munitions.
I don't blame them for going to Ukraine to fight. That's completely justified.
Yeah, especially if they can come home with guns.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Well,
that
dude,
too.
That brings me to the video I wanted to send you guys in the chat. I can't find it right now, but you guys all know Warnor on Twitter and Telegram. Mm-hmm. There's this video. This guy, he's probably in some Turkish-backed FSA group, and he's like showing off these guns and shit. He's like, "Yeah, bro, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Chechen battalion in Ukraine, fighting on the Ukrainian side called the Sheikh Mansour battalion." But he's all like, "Yeah, man, our brother is in like the Sheikh Mansour battalion, and the Sheikh Mansour battalion members have fought in Syria." So that sort of off topic, but Chechens have fought in every major war since the
1990s. Yeah, well, I actually when I was working in Syria, I was like, it was very interesting because it was when Omar was running ISIS, and Omar would talk to you. If you could message Omar, and he would just talk to you.
Omar, what's the last name?
Al-Shashani, the military leader of ISIS.
Oh, okay.
So he eventually got drone strike, probably because he was on his phone constantly talking to people. Like, there's Australian radio hosts that have interviewed this guy, and the thing is that...
Was it Kyle and Jackie O?
I'm not sure, but you can look it up. The thing is this is the same thing that happened with Al-Qaeda, is that there was a divide between the radical Chechens and Al-Qaeda because they wouldn't swear fealty to each other. So the fact that Omar went into ISIS as their military leader and swore to Baghdadi was a really, really big deal to the rest of the people that came there with him. They were really pissed about it.
This reminds me, like, kind of, those guys, they like to LARP, if that makes sense. Like, if you notice every, like leader of their group, as soon as he becomes a leader, he changes his last name to Al-Hashimi. So he can be like, oh, well, you know, low-key, I'm, like, related to the Prophet. It's like, bro, you're literally a Turkman. There's no way. there's literally no way. You're just lying right now. You're just straight up capping. Like, It's funny though, they're LARPing and stuff. Like they really like the whole like bend the knee and like swear your allegiance to me type of stuff.
Yeah, I think people need to look at it more feudalistic, as, like it is. Like it's very feudalistic, and like I think they need to bring back champions though, and just like your two best fighters just go one on one.
100% agree.
With machetes and shit.
Yeah,
with whatever. Give them an array of weapons.
Whatever they want. Death battles. The person who's one of the most responsible parties for the Muslims conquering that area is a woman. And she was one of the champions, because what they would do is they would, instead of just losing an entire army in a huge fight, they would just have their champions duel. And they didn't want to lose their like top generals and stuff, so she was most frequently put into fight, but she would dress just like the men and they wouldn't even know they were fighting a chick. She just like destroyed
she put
everyone.
Mulan on them.
She's actually called the Muslim Mulan. That's one of her nicknames.
Her name's I think Hawla bint is something. Bint means daughter, right? So it's like Hawla, daughter of whoever. But they really like their kind of like Games of Thronesy type shit where you like bend the knee. And...
She was the shit though, you know, like that's cool. I think that's a good idea.
There's no money. There's no money in champions, you know what I mean? All the sponsorship opportunities though.
Yeah, like let's get some battle bots going.
It would just redirect the military-industrial complex into advertising.
Well, I mean, isn't it already?
I guess so.
I mean, like, General Dynamics, like, they're almost a household name.
America's Champion, sponsored by Raytheon.
Yeah, you know, everyone throws around Raytheon. General Dynamics, though, like, they're everywhere. Do you know what one of the main things that they do? They build special operations training facilities.
No shit.
You can go, and they do it out of Jordan, but General Dynamics owns one of the facilities there. And it's like, you know, they have all environments, like they'll have like motels, skyscrapers, like all the environments that you would need to train your forces in. And they have a cargo plane, and like they'll play sounds of babies screaming and crying.
What the fuck?
It's like state-of-the-art special operations tier one training facilities.
These
Arab companies come out and they go to Jordan and see these things, and they go and General Dynamics goes build them, and whoever, you know, comes in and wants to build these fucking facilities, because if that's where everything's going, is towards the individual soldier and tier one operators. So General Dynamics, did they win the rifle contract? Who won that shit?
SIG, wasn't it?
SIG won it?
Yeah.
SIG, I know they had the pistol contract. SIG's better.
They make a good SIG, gun.
SIG makes the they
what is it? Next generation squad weapon.
Yeah, they got the service rifle, the light machine gun, and the pistol. The service rifle and the LMG both have interchangeable ammunition, and it's a new caliber.
Yeah, so, but do we need it?
Who cares? MCX Spear is cool.
There's money to spend.
Did you know that Vortex also, I'm pretty sure Vortex is an American company, got the optics contract that's going to be $10,000 a scope or some shit? But like, When I say $10,000 per scope, I'm talking like it aims for you kind of video game shit.
Oh, it's crazy. So, have you seen the optics that they have? The thermal goggles that they have.
I haven't seen the thermal goggles.
Okay.
Did you guys see that Boeing recently won the contract to make a missile defense for the U.S.? I did a post.
Are we upgrading from the Patriot missiles?
No. They're making it's just like a missile defense thing. Like if North Korea ever decides to fuck around, basically.
North Korea, I'm not worried about North Korea.
You know what? Everybody in the world would say the opposite, right?
So this is a leaked video that we got, and I think it was intentionally leaked. But you can see they're filming down one of the goggles on this new night vision system. Wait until you see this shit. I would not want to, you know, and you know what we're actually training for is Iran, because we think Iran is all underground. So this is a fucking, these are the goggles we would use to go fight Iran. Look at that shit.
Some Call of Duty shit right there.
That's pretty cool.
It identifies friend and foe too as well.
No shit.
What? Yeah.
Honestly,
I'll show
bro,
you.
I might just head over to my local Marine recruiting office. This shit looks cool as hell.
It's pretty sick. That's insane.
Oh my god, dude! It's got the direction. It's got the compass built in.
Ghillie suits will not work anymore.
That's the thing. Whenever I hear people talking about like U.S. versus whoever in like a hypothetical scenario, I'm like, dude, we're just so
think about this underground though.
We're so technologically ahead. It's ridiculous.
This beats thermals out so quickly.
Like you're gone before you even know like the enemy is there, basically. Like if they have this shit, you're toast.
And one of the main things that it's for is specifically for not shooting your buddies, you know?
Yes. Pat Tillman could have used more of those. I'd imagine like say you kill somebody and you start feeling bad, I feel like it just ruins the vibe.
I mean, well, I have you seen the videos that we post about the guys in Tigray who capture these guys and
dude, those are my favorite videos that like on the internet of all time, like where they're just parading them through the streets. I'm like, that is messed up.
There's one specifically that I made where it's like it's these two guys and they're clearly drunk and they're just like it's just like everything you don't want to see in gun handling.
Have you ever seen the video where the Azeris make these Armenian POWs dance Lezginka with them?
I've seen a lot of things from Armenia, and none of them have been good. So
that's the only good thing I ever saw from Armenia. It's like these Azeri guys, like they're like, all right, guys, stand up, and these like POWs stand up, and you can just see the fear in their eyes. They're like, oh my god, they're gonna like cut our ears off. And they're like, they start playing music from like fucking like 1980s boombox. It's just Lezginka, and they just start like moving their hands and feet and shit. They're like, come on, guys, let's dance.
That was when the camera cuts, though.
There's this one Azeri like propaganda page on YouTube. I think it's called like Azeri Heroes or some shit. But like their whole feed is just it's like brave Azeri soldier. I'm talking like hundreds of these videos. It's like brave Azeri soldier assists wounded Armenian soldier, and it's the same video like 100 times.
Yeah, I've posted it.
Yeah, it's a fun video. Just so you guys know, I'll be completely useless on the screen share because I'm on my phone right now. So apologies in advance. I got
you
next
fine.
Time, though.
It's fine. But pull screen share this one. These are the Ethiopian forces right here, right? They're drunk as fuck, you know?
A few moments later.
Same guys.
Oh, dude, I saw this.
Get up! It's okay. We'll
wait till he watch. He starts lecturing him. It's so funny.
No. Are they Ethiopian army and the Tigrayans?
Yeah, the Tigrayans have a civilian clothes.
He's literally lecturing him.
That's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. On this report that I had pulled up over here, there's actually a specific thing just on Ethiopia here. So they're concerned specifically about Ethiopia. And
shocker.
And then also because Sudan is there in South Sudan and then Somalia, so they're worried mostly about the cross border. It doesn't seem like they actually care about what's going on there, but that's why they won't help these people who are clearly, you know, nice people. But also the other guys, all neoliberalism. But Myanmar is the same way. And in this map that we have, I think Myanmar is almost as high as Syria.
Do we arm Myanmar at all?
No, but Myanmar is 82. It's almost as high as Iraq.
That's messed up.
Wait, what is?
Myanmar, it's one of the, so here.
They're what?
They're high risk to arm.
Yeah, hang on, I'll show you.
According to this thing.
Yeah, the thing that we had up before.
Myanmar is right here, 82. Afghanistan is 93, Russia's 74.
What's Australia?
10.
Nice. What's the lowest?
Well, United States doesn't have a rating.
Is that because they give the ratings? Because they're the
Switzerland
ones
is five.
Arms? Interesting.
Well, yeah, because this is the risk assessment from the United States.
Yeah, right.
Costa Rica is a 15. That's pretty low.
Nice. What's like Venezuela and stuff?
Oh, Venezuela is one of the higher ones. It's 67. 67, 63. Nicaragua's lower. Mexico's lower. But, you know, the highest parts are right around Ethiopia here. I can understand
What's Nigeria? Is Nigeria like 60-something?
I mean, we give a shitload of guns to Nigeria, so. Nigeria's 81. It's very high.
Damn.
But they need them. I mean, come on. You
can't really dispute that. What ethnic homogeny does to a motherfucker or something? I don't know.
Nigeria's fucked up, man. South Sudan. South Sudan is the worst. South Sudan is so fucked.
World's youngest country, right? Still?
Yeah. That's a capital of child soldiers.
Sorry, Junior, you can't have your guns yet. You're only 11. Jack, I actually wanted to ask you something because you're from Australia. Mm-hmm.
Is it about the nuclear subs?
It is about the nuclear subs, dude. It is about the nuclear subs.
Yep.
And they like revoked the embassies and stuff because France didn't fulfill like a contractual obligation.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure this is what happened. Is realistically, the Australian government were renewing contracts, and they realized that with the increasing threat from China and the fact that the diesel submarines from France are about 30 years outdated. For basically the same money, we got nuclear subs that are interchangeable with the UK, the United States, and other partner countries. And as a result, we are going to be better equipped, even though we went back on our contract with the French. But you know what? Fuck the French.
Yeah. Fuck them.
I feel like I remember reading about it. I did my post on it, and I really was fighting the urge just to type out Australia is totally justified in this situation because France screwed them over. What I was going to say is, like, no serious naval power today, at least, like, serious naval power. I'm not talking about, like, the Syrian Navy has...
Syrian Navy?
No, barely. Has diesel-powered submarines. They're all on nuclear-powered submarines now. You know who makes a lot of money off of that? India.
Hmm.
Yeah, India's huge in the arms industry. They're one of the biggest buyers, too.
A lot of people say India makes better nuclear submarines than the U.S., which I'm not sure if I buy
India,
that. But...
I mean, if you look at India and nuclear technologies, maybe, you know...
They're smart people, bro. Like... You gotta hand it to them. They're very, like, they have a big population, and they're, like, a lot of educated people in and outside the country. It's a smart culture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, China wants to be like them. The Asians, and I'm including India and China here, but in institutions, tech is insane. It's like, you know, Silicon Valley.
Well, the other thing is... The other thing, and this is my theory behind why people were annoyed, is because Thales is one of our biggest arms distributors. And,
Who's one of your biggest arms distributors?
Thales.
Oh, okay.
And guess where they're based?
France.
Kind of interesting. They own our domestic production of firearms. There's this really wild APC called the Bushmaster, and even the Americans want it.
And, well, dude, if you go overseas, like, the amount of total gas stations, like, Total is a French oil and energy company, the amount of total gas stations you see is insane.
Yeah.
Like, they're just trying to milk sub-Saharan Africa for all the oil it has and then sell it.
I've been saying this for a minute, but oil's about to die. Oil is dying fast. Fast as
yeah.
I mean, even Saudi Aramco tried to sell their entire company, and nobody wanted to buy it. Can you imagine?
They made record profits this year.
You know why?
The crazy part.
You know why?
A rise in oil prices?
They divested half their company into chemicals.
Nice. Well, dude, I've been to Saudi.
I'm not sure if that's the right word, but look here. See, France, this is arms exports. Where's this tab? Right here. Arms exports.
I was in the Gulf recently, and their whole like marketing campaign right now is solar. They're hopping on that.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the solar city? Saudi Arabia's dumb fucking city that's gonna fucking microwave the planet with the amount of mirrors that are on it?
Dude, there's gonna be like 400 people who live there, and they're gonna displace like 2 million veterans.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's not gonna work. It is like you know how Elon makes like the dumbest projects? Oh my god, what the fuck are they calling it?
Neon.
The line is so stupid. This is the stupidest. Dubai is like this as well. Like their fucking buildings. It just pisses me off. Like, let's make some fucking islands like a palm tree for no fucking reason. All right, Jack, look at this. Look at this fucking thing. Imagine like walking through the desert and like you end up turning right and stare into this thing. You're fucking blinded for life.
I hate this. They're building a wall. This is dystopia.
This is like an idea proposed by rich people. This entire thing is on like Bedouin tribal land. And anytime one of these like Bedouin tribal dudes like is like, well, I kind of think it's a bad idea. They just off him. He just gets murked. They're like, he fell off a roof.
MBS is like the embodiment of the smiling gangster.
Look, man, I'm just gonna keep it to myself because I'm still trying to go.
Did you hear they're trying to replace the F-35 already?
No, that's a $3 trillion plane. What do you mean replace?
I know they're already developing a replacement.
What's next? The $6 trillion plane?
Jeez. Oh, it's Gen 6, but this is a thing, right?
Dude, we're never gonna avert a
Gen 5 course, so. Fighter planes. For you to improve on them,
they have to
make them literal UFOs to be able to get to a point.
I gotta ask. Like, okay, we have these Predator drones. You know, Turkey has Bayraktar and all this shit. I'm not saying we need to phase out fighter jets, but what's the point of trying to improve them? Like, you have F-35s and Predator drones just flying through the sky at any given moment.
No, well, I mean, the thing is you look at the F-22.
Fair enough.
Look at the F-22. We don't even need those.
Well, dude, the F-15 is still a good plane.
Yeah, well, when has the F-22 when have we ever lost an F-22?
Here's the thing, though. Like, you still have countries lining up to buy the F-15, dog.
And they've just revolutionized it. They just went back and revamped it, and now Boeing wants to turn it into a stealth fighter.
Oh, it'll be a great stealth fighter.
It would be sick.
I feel like at this point we're just flexing.
But the F-22 is the coolest plane ever made already.
It's so cool. And the F-35 is just its fat cousin.
The F-35 is being built for a specific purpose.
Yes.
Wasn't it for like a solid, like they'd invested $1 trillion into the F-35 at this point, and for like 5 years it couldn't even land properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like also, anytime it landed, it would just crash.
It was only the C model. It was the hook model that had to land on the carriers.
It's the STVOL one.
Well, I hate to be Mr. Military Spending here, but you know it costs like $11 trillion, not $11 million a day to maintain aircraft carriers.
You know that they got taken down by a large bird once.
Well, dude, here's the thing with aircraft carriers, right? If the U.S. and its allies were to go to war with China, and I'm not saying China has a chance in hell, but
China has the most aircraft carriers now, I think, don't they?
But let's say an aircraft carrier gets damaged. Do you know how much of a loss that is?
That's
like,
huge.
I watched a video about this.
Or life?
Dude, no, well, both. dude, the risk to reward of having an aircraft carrier is just stupid. Like, it's really just like losses on all ends.
But here's the other thing. Try and touch it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So that's the
whole fleets
strategy.
Around the aircraft carriers are wild. Like, they're the center point of the entire naval strategy. Try and touch it. China won't get through. There's no way.
That's a good point.
And the main thing that we use our aircraft carriers for is shit like refueling Saudi Arabian planes to bomb children in Yemen. But the AK, right? So we look at these African conflicts, right? You know how much, you know, Burkina Faso has a pretty big military. You know how much they spend on military imports? $0.
Yeah.
So, you know,
they get it from all the ISIS fighters they fucking take down. Oh, thanks for the free gun.
Well, the thing is that Libya is a big part of this. And, like, Egypt, they actually had a license to produce Soviet AKs.
No shit.
Well, I'm gonna let you guys in on a little Arab secret here. Okay, so for a while now, tribal groups in Arab countries know how to produce AKs and ARs. So what a lot of them do, my tribe included, is we produce these and we sell them to like not high ranking military officers, like lieutenants. We sell it to them so they just like leave us alone. And then we export them to places like Libya, Jordan, Palestine.
No shit.
And that is just all, like, literally the entire concept, like the entirety of the Middle East and Africa is just one big gun buyback program. That's like,
Egypt and Jordan are huge parts of it, though. Egypt is a huge producer of AKs.
Bro, I've seen 11-year-olds fucking making AKs in like rusty garages.
Yeah, all the guns that went into Afghanistan came out of Egypt. Also, we were talking about the Yom Kippur War. Egypt armed all those countries.
Yeah,
like for a country you don't hear much about, they really do a lot.
They are super important. That's what I was telling
you. The other thing, any Toyota made in the Middle East, Europe, and parts of Asia is assembled in Egypt.
That's why there's so many Hiluxes in African conflicts.
That's the thing. People like to act like it's some big conspiracy, like where Toyota is arming like these terrorists.
Yeah,
groups.
No, and they'll be like, how did all these Daesh fighters get brand new Toyotas?
And it's like, dude, that's just the car of choice over there. Like everybody wants a 4Runner or a Hilux. Yeah. Like that's a Hilux.
People think Daesh doesn't have money for new Toyotas.
A Hilux and 40 acres of land is my dream.
But like in Libya, like there was ballistic missile systems there that we just don't know where they went.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, Libya falling is the main reason why the first African conflict era that we had, where it was like all the brown and child soldiers and it was blood diamonds and shit, all they were like, half that shit was like homemade guns, like Mausers that they made. Now all those guns are fucking Libyan guns.
Well, the other thing about Libya, I think they actually tracked one of those missile systems down. They tracked one of them down. Have you ever seen the Libyan homemade APC?
I know the IRA had 3 Libyan missiles, but they gave
the Libyan National Army made their own line of APCs. They produced like 15 of them. And it's like, it is a monstrosity, dog. There's like wings on it.
They just got creative.
I mean, you've heard me bitch about Benghazi, the secret soldiers. There is one scene in there where they are basically talking about buying arms and stuff. And that was the main reason why we had that embassy there, was to track these arms coming out of Benghazi.
We did a pretty shitty job of it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, they did not do a good... Well, I mean, they were a fucking joke. I've told this story before. Somebody lit a house on fire and some idiots exposed their position and got hit with a mortar. It's not a real conspiracy. What is the conspiracy is what they were doing there. Like, they were buying heavy weapon systems. We're talking above RPG level weapons is what the CIA
for. Crazy is all Libyan men between the ages of like 18 and 40, like 1 in 10 have been in the militia at some point, which is
a pretty wild statistic.
I mean, take it into account, right? You got a country of 5 million people and there's about 300 militia groups and there's 500,000 militiamen at any given time. Now multiply that by 10 and basically every man in the country, like almost like 1 in 10, right? At some points 1 in 5 was in a militia. And this is the thing that pisses me off about people who won't hop off of like Gaddafi's nuts, is that like I know people who lived in Libya during his rule, and they were like, "Bro, we would go to the grocery store, and there would be nothing but condensed milk. Every other aisle was empty." Like, and you're talking about a guy who's pumping billions, I mean billions worth of oil a day.
Yeah, somebody posted a quote by Putin the other day, and it said, and Putin, it was Putin, it was an African page, and it was like, who gave someone permission to kill Gaddafi or something like that? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure they didn't need permission to kill their own leader, you know? Like the United States was like, "Hey, can you not? Like, hang on, guys, and we know you have him in custody, but make sure you don't kill him." They did say that. They specifically said, "Hey, don't kill him." So, case closed, in my opinion.
Well, the whole reason it kicked off was because of French oil. Well, not the whole reason, but like a big reason it got to the point it did was because of French oil interests. Because I've talked about this before, and this is why France is in Yemen right now. It's literally more profitable to just keep Libya in a constant limbo of chaos than it is to have like a stable government, because the oil is like three times as cheap. Because if you have a stable government, you have to pay for social programs, you have to pay for infrastructure, you have to pay for all that shit. If you have like 10 guys guarding an oil field with some Hiluxes, you just got to pay for their ammunition. So they'll sell you that oil for like dirt cheap, way less than what it's worth.
And this is what Wagner is good for in a lot of African countries.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to Blackwater? Is that still a thing?
Blackwater, they're called Academy now.
Ah, rebrand. All right. Yes.
He actually was trying to sell. You know how China is doing their little security guards that they're selling around the world?
Is that the domestic police stations in foreign countries?
Yeah, well, Blackwater wanted to do something similar to that.
I'm not surprised. Aren't they an equity firm?
Academy?
No, I think I'm thinking BlackRock, because I think that might be why.
No.
I think that might be why they rebranded, is because they kept getting mistaken for BlackRock.
Oh, wait for Ace to come back. That is not why Blackwater rebranded.
Nah, bro. Blackwater. So Blackwater is like the frat guy of military, like industrial complex. They were literally driving around Humvees, drunk as shit, throwing grenades at civilian cars in Iraq.
What the fuck?
They were wasted the whole time.
Bro, so you know the Fallujah Bridge incident?
Mm. That was Blackwater, right?
Those are Blackwater guys, but what's important about that incident, those guys turned down a wrong street. Same thing happened in Benghazi.
So
they turned down the wrong street and got lit up. Right.
We should at least verify if guys have their driver's license in their home state before sending them to drive a Humvee in a war-torn country.
And I think they were transporting something to do with restaurateurs, but they turned into a very dangerous neighborhood that was controlled by the insurgency. And they shot them because that's what they do. They threw grenades in the car windows as well on one of the cars and shot them, right? So then they left. And earlier, the Marines just killed a shitload of civilians because the Marines' main base ended up being a school. So these people in Fallujah were protesting the Marines taking over a school because they want their children to have an education.
Yeah.
So they started throwing stones, and the Marines opened fire and killed I want to say 18. People were really pissed about that. So the civilians came out, pulled these bodies out of these cars after the IAA left. Because we have video. They made a documentary. I have it. I can send it to you. It's very good. They apologized for doing it in the documentary. They said, "We didn't mean for this to happen. Like, this isn't what we're about. We don't, you know, like, these mutilations that happen to their bodies. Like, we killed them, and they deserve to die. And blood contracts should not be used in Iraq. It should not be for a war for profit. Like, they're justified in killing these guys, and we hung somebody for this, saying it was like a plotted attack, just like Benghazi, when it was just them fucking up. And so when those bodies got hung from that bridge, it's what sparked the Battle of Fallujah, which we went in and we killed half the city. We put Iraqi-run guys in. Those guys eventually just became all Al-Qaeda, because it got to the point where we were killing the insurgents who just wanted to set up their own democratic government. We killed so many of them, they were forced to side with Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Then Fallujah 2 happens, and that's the very, very infamous, like, that's the bloodiest battle. So all this happens around Blackwater. If Blackwater wasn't there, this incident wouldn't happen. But they're also responsible for the worst civilian massacre, which happens in a square, and I think the youngest child was 6. But
so how do they get in the way with this?
In civilian traffic and things like that. They didn't, but Trump pardoned them.
Okay.
So,
greatest president in American history, baby.
MAGA. Just, taking orders from above, I guess. I don't think he really knows what Blackwater is, to be completely
honest. Eric Prince is super important. Eric Prince is, you'll see him in everything. He's in Libya. He's super important. He's the owner of this company. He's all over the place. Just look him up. He's notorious. He's a piece
the worst of shit. Part. The worst part about Eric Prince is he was born into a really rich family in Connecticut, and he just had like a war boner that he never got off. Like he joined the Navy SEAL. He joins the Marines, becomes a Navy SEAL, and never gets deployed. So he starts Blackwater.
Wait, he never got deployed.
No, sir.
Okay, I know. Yeah, I know exactly the type of person
he was.
He
just
is.
Basically a dude with a massive war boner who just never was able to get it off. So he founded a mercenary group, basically.
He's very important when it comes to United States doctrine, and especially think about how we just came up short on the military. We came up short on our recruitment numbers.
While he's not there, this is the Abrams X. Abrams X. Abrams X, that's the worst.
Okay, yep, I got it right here. So, what's coming on? It's gonna have a remote turret. Okay. It's gonna go down to a crew of 3. They're currently Abrams is currently a huge tank and requires a 4-man crew. But it doesn't look like they're gonna use an auto loader. So I'm curious how they do that. And then it says hull crew compartment.
Let's be real. The Abrams is pretty cool.
It's got an RWS. I assume that's a rear wheel system. What does that mean? RWS.
Weapon system.
Oh, remote weapon system. So it's got a 30mm by 113mm remote weapon system. Hybrid electric power pack. Cummings and Army developed advanced combat engine. It's called ACE.
These people have no idea how to name shit.
Hey, 120mm XM. 120mm XM30 cannon. Trophy active protection system.
Interesting.
But it looks fucking cool. But one of the things that they're making is a bulldozer here.
A bulldozer.
You know that one of the things in Desert Storm that they did is when they charged the first trench, we put bulldozers in and we just bulldozed the entire trench, burying hundreds of people alive.
What the fuck?
The first attack wave of the Gulf War. That's what the United States wants to do, is they want to take a break. They want to just look at Ukraine, evaluate their weapon systems, and they're going to take this data into account, and they're going to come out with these systems that are going to make them able to do the Gulf War all over again in these African countries to control these resources, probably. But then we also, so like with arms and stuff, Ukraine already has a problem with corruption. So it's how much of these arms are in Ukraine. I mean, we've already seen them coming into Syria. What is it? It's got little drones. It can work with drones.
Yeah, remote control.
That's unmanned. What the remote turret does. So it's a remote turret. So the fucking tank commander can fucking aim that. You can fucking aim that turret downrange and shit.
That's pretty wild. That really utilizes the tank role, considering
this,
how outdated
you know
the tank
right
is.
This came right out of Ukraine, man. This came right out of the tactics we're using in Ukraine with seeing these civilian drones and shit.
Oh, 100%, because Russia losing is proof that the tanks are not they're not a modern weapon anymore. They're outdated. So why we keep moving towards tanks, I'll never understand.
Well, these are going to be different. Striker.
Oh, new Striker as well. Okay.
That's the APC.
Yeah.
But General Dynamics makes engines, too. That's one of the big things about them. There you go. Is that the gun? Was that the tank gun or the
This APC? Is for the Striker.
It looks like an auto cannon or something. Right?
140mm cannon. Okay. So they're downgrading the main cannon on the tank. And they are Looks like lowering it, but the striker will have...
They're moving more towards the light tanks being the main battle.
Yeah, they're moving away from those big heavy tanks, it seems.
So the tank is probably going to be more like a carrier type system. Mm. It's going to be like drone command.
Yeah, okay, so I was right about the remote weapons station, armed with a variant of 30mm automatic cannons.
Do you guys think that drones spell the end for tanks or not? I personally think it's a really dumb theory, but I want to know your thoughts on it.
Yes, because a drone can just drop a thermite charge on top of a tank and it's done.
I feel like people said this when planes started becoming very common in modern warfare, though. I mean, we still use infantry. For fuck's sake, it's like, what's the point? We should
infantry
just
is always
going to
be
but...
the most important. The thing is that you, no matter how much you bomb something, unless you have people on the ground to take it, you don't control it. Right.
Well, what if the robots start taking it, dog?
Well, what's that saying that you can't control the street corner with an F-15?
That's true.
Is that a saying? That's true. Yeah. But also, fuck the robots. We're gonna have like the little fucking. You've seen them. They have these big ass like fucking microwave guns that like have like. They literally look like a really bad sci-fi movie weapon. They look like they shoot nuts. All right. Let's discuss this right here. What do we think about this?
I actually like that.
You know? This is what, wait, we're talking about future African conflicts right here. This is what we're talking about, putting these, you know, that's what we have to talk about, is the cyber trucks getting into ISIS hands. You know,
I actually like that a lot. That looks cool, dude. It looks cool. It looks fucking cool. I don't care what anyone says, all right? I don't like Elon. I don't like Tesla. But the Cybertruck is cool, man.
The Cybertruck is pretty cool.
Look at the inside, it's built like a cockpit.
Oh, that's sick. See, this is the one good thing Tesla's done.
Yeah, but we don't know if it even works.
Hey,
well,
man,
the windows don't work.
They've only delayed the release of it 4 times.
Oh, I mean, if we want to end on something, I kind of want to talk about the fact that we should have bought F-15s, not F-35s. Because Australia, right, we had the F-111s. And we've retired
great
those.
Great planes.
They're
too.
Excellent. Excellent.
They're so
planes.
Good. They're so and underrated.
We only retired them because they became more. It costs like $10,000 for every hour of flight to make it like that, repair it for that 1 hour of flight. Or it was like time based. It was like 2 hours of time fixing it for every hour of flight. And that's when they retire it.
Sorry, you know what's a shitty plane? I don't even. Are these. Are A-10 Warthogs?
Fuck them. Service? They suck.
They're horrible. They're a liability. No.
The F-111 is better at what the A-10 was designed to do. It's fact. And like people like John McCain have kept that fucking tub of shit going. But it was really useful in Afghanistan, honestly.
It's cool.
Just because of how the mountains are in Afghanistan.
The A-10 is cool as fuck.
It was useful there.
Dude, do you know how much like friendly fire incidents have happened?
I'm
because
very
of
aware.
Yeah, they have to aim with binoculars, dude.
I'm very aware of it, and it's
like imagine
still
being
awesome.
An American soldier,
dude,
and you're like,
the
yeah, we're
British,
air
the
support.
British banned the A-10 from responding to their fucking close air
That's
support.
That's hilarious.
Calls.
It's like, dude, because the A-10 is coming so in. It's like we better start writing letters to our family because we're gonna fucking die.
Yeah, it's a terrible plane. Terrible plane.
But yeah, so we had the F-111s, which we retired with
quick,
old Navy Super Hornets.
Air Force.
Still have F-14s.
Yeah, they have Tomcats.
Mm.
Their main planes are Tomcats.
Yes.
So there's no way, Iran has fucking air power.
No, they're not at all. They might have helicopters, but that's it.
We've seen helicopters in recent days.
Mm. Like that might be it, right?
Yeah, but how many I think they have Phantoms as well. They have Phantoms and Tomcats.
Yeah.
I think their main fighter is a Phantom.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
F-4. So the Phantom.
Yep.
The F-14A. They do have MiG-29s.
Yes, they do have MiGs. That's, yeah. But so did Saddam.
Mm. And they also have the flanker, the SU-24.
The SU-24 is a good plane.
It is a good plane.
No, F-16.
The 27. The 27 is the flanker.
I think there was a big deal about them almost getting F-16s. Like, F-16s were about to be delivered them before the revolution happened.
Oh, Jesus. They still have 9 Mirages.
That's the other one. Yes, Mirages. Mirages also were really good in the Iraq War.
They also have an Iranian-made plane, which they only have 8 of.
Yeah, and I think most of these planes are unfunctional. That's the thing. That's why I was saying is that if you look at the U.S. military, it looks like they're training to fight underground.
Mm.
If Iran doesn't have an air force, what do you think they've been doing?
Yeah.
Look at Hamas. Have you seen Hamas? How they operate?
My apologies, guys. I had to discuss something. But what are we on the topic on? I heard something about the Iranian Air Force.
Yeah, we're talking about the Iranian Air Force. I'm just going through the planes. No, they have Phantoms. So they have 63 Phantoms. They have 26 F-14s. They have 23 SU-24s.
They don't have an Air Force.
They don't. They have 20 MiG-29s.
That seems kind of low for such a big military, to be honest.
It's pretty wild, right? And then they have...
How many people live in Iran? Like 80 million?
This is the wild one, right? They only have 2 Chinook helicopters, and the rest are like news station helicopters.
Is this just because nobody will sell them, like...
Pretty much, I think.
Yeah, and that's the thing is these drones that we're seeing in Ukraine. I was really interested in them, but we basically know everything about them now. I just haven't read up on them, but we just found out today that the processors that run them are made in fucking 2 hours away from me.
This they have Iranian a lot of drone, suicide drones.
Yeah, but the thing is the technology that they claim that this drone should have should not be possible under the sanctions that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that these drones are going to be severely underperforming what they claim they can do.
I was going to finish what I was going on before, is that like our evolution of planes has gone F-111, hand-me-down U.S. Navy Super Hornets, which we still have, and now we have the F-35s. We spent so much money on the F-35s as they were upgrading the F-15s, and an air superiority fighter would suit us much better than like an air-to-ground basic bitch sort of F-35A. Like, it's just absurd to think that we wouldn't look somewhere else, but we wanted our name on the contract on that sort of... you know what I mean?
Aren't you getting involved with space too now?
I mean, probably. It makes perfect sense for Australia to be a launch pad. Yeah. I gotta go. Are you guys gonna talk more, or
No, we're good.
We're done?
Yeah.
Is this gonna be on... Yo, check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, Breakfast Club Radio, Conflict, guys. Not playing.
Where do you want people to follow you?
Yeah, just say where you want people to follow you.
You know what, man? Just follow me on Instagram at ace.report. You're going to have to spell that out exactly as it's spelled because I think I am still shadow banned.
We collab with him a lot, so you can find him through our Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can find me through John's Instagram, probably Fifth Gen, all that good shit. I have my own podcast coming soon. I'll have a couple of guests on who've been to conflict zones and stuff. That's kind of the topic. So it's just conflict, organized crime, all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. So yeah.
Cool. Mostly bad.
Mostly bad.
All right.
All right. Perfect.